The Philippine economy beats growth expectations for 2021. A public policy think tank calls government's move to hand over former frequencies of ABS-CBN to Duterte allies an almost midnight deal. NTC Deputy Commissioner Edgardo Cabarrios will join us later to tackle this controversy. A doctor's group warns government against lowering the COVID alert level in Metro Manila. And we'll have San Juan City Mayor Francis Zamora later on in the program to discuss their preparations for the COVID vaccination of children aged 5 to 11 years old. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with this story. The Philippine economy grew faster than expected in 2021 as looser COVID-19 restrictions propelled its recovery. Our very own Warren de Guzman now joins us with more details. Warren, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon. Well, the Philippine economy grew faster than Singapore and Vietnam in the fourth quarter of last year, expanding 7.7%. That is faster than most expectations. And it pushed full-year growth to 5.6%, which was also higher than most expectations, including the Philippine government's own 5 to 5.5% target range. Now, this happened in spite of the massive damage done by Typhoon Odette. Socio-Economic Planning Secretary Carl Chua says the latest estimates place the total damage from Odette at 33.4 billion pesos or 0.17% of GDP. He estimates growth was reduced by around 0.05% because of this. And they are completing a post-disaster needs assessment to find out what must be done to help affected areas recover soon. Now, that should be out by the end of the month. Now, there was growth across the board on the demand and supply side. Agriculture growth was positive in spite of continuing problems with African swine fever livestock. Household spending, a perennial engine of growth, expanded 7.5%, and even investment in trade did well. That was all in step with the easing of mobility restrictions, as you mentioned, Carmina. Now, Chua is actually confident the Philippine economy will grow back to its pre-pandemic size within this quarter, in spite of the Omicron surge.
...2021 performance shows us that we are on the correct path to a resilient recovery. The stage is now set forth for growth to accelerate in 2022. Although COVID-19 risk increased at the beginning of the year due to the highly transmissible Omicron variant, we were able to limit severe cases and deaths relative to the total number of cases because of our accelerated vaccination program and improvements in our healthcare system. With the shortened interval for booster shots and the expansion of the vaccination program to children aged 5 to 11 years old starting this February, more Filipinos can avail of these life-saving doses. When approvals are available, the government also aims to expand vaccination program to those aged 0 to 4 years old. All of these will enable the safe and full reopening of the economy, allowing more Filipinos to work and earn a living and restarting all face-to-face learning. We are optimistic that we will not only recover to the pre-pandemic level in 2022, but achieve the upper middle income country status. We have put in place several game-changing reforms throughout the Duterte administration, and we will not slow down in these final months. We will continue to pursue structural reforms that will make the country more resilient against future crises and solidify our growth prospects.
Now, Undersecretary Dennis Mapa, national statistician, laid out the numbers for us in terms of getting back to the 2019 nominal GDP level. For 2021, it was at 19.387 trillion pesos. That's from 17.939 trillion in 2020 and 19.518 trillion pesos in 2019. So Mapa says that's roughly about 131 billion pesos away from the 2019 level, or 0.7%. However, in spite of this growth that we've seen, the Asian Development Bank has actually pointed out that the Philippines could be the last economy in the region to return to pre-pandemic growth trajectories, meaning the trend of growth the country was on before the pandemic hit. Now, Chua says boosting growth will have to be achieved in Congress with things like opening up the economy to more foreign investment through the pending amendment to the Public Service Act and the ratification of the Philippines' participation in the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Free Trade Agreement. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot. Warren De Guzman there joining us live. Take care, Warren. Keep safe. Well, moving on, Moody's Investor Service stays conservative, downgrading its 2022 growth forecast to 6.8%. That's below the government's target range for this year, which is at 7 to 9%. Christian De Guzman of Moody's says, while fiscal prudence has worked well for the Philippines so far, the result of the May polls risks changes in fiscal spending approach.
We do see that fiscal prudence as a positive in terms of the way we see fiscal management. But the question is, does that change following the elections? We are going to have a new president coming in with a new team. How is policy going to change? How is the policy approach going to change? We don't really have a clear idea of that. And then there are other fiscal risks as well in 2022. It's not about the size of the spending, which I think what we're talking about. It's also the efficacy of spending. So this year, because of the Mandanas ruling in the Supreme Court, this is the first year where we're starting to see decentralization of that spending. So a lot more of the revenue is being devolved to local levels of government. And alongside that, in some responsibilities for spending. How effective can local levels of government be in spending that money?
The reassignment of the former broadcast frequencies of media giant ABS-CBN to allies of President Rodrigo Duterte, sparking outrage. Mike Navallo tells us more.
The National Telecommunications Commission on Wednesday confirmed that two more frequencies once held by ABS-CBN have been assigned to two other media entities owned by President Duterte's allies. Channel 23, which used to air Studio 23 and the ABS-CBN Sports and Action Channel, was given to Aliu Broadcasting Corporation, which operates radio station DWIZ. Aliu is owned by the family of the late Antonio Cabangon Chua, former Philippine ambassador to Laos, who was also head of Nine Media Corporation, which operates CNN Philippines. Channel 43, on the other hand, where ABS-CBN used to air its TV Plus channels, will now be operated by Suarasug Media Corporation, or more popularly known as Sunshine Media Network International, owned by Kingdom of Jesus Christ Pastor Apollo Kiboloy, President Duterte's spiritual advisor. The NTC's announcements came a day after it gave a provisional authority to Villar-owned Advanced Media Broadcasting System Incorporated to operate Digital Channel 16, while Analog Channel 2 was also temporarily assigned to it for simulcast purposes until the country totally shifts to digital TV. The NTC order gave AMBS 18 months to operate. SMNI confirmed to ABS-CBN News it was given provisional authority to operate Channel 43, while the Villars and Aliu Broadcasting Corporation have yet to issue any statement. The NTC said it consulted the Department of Information Communications Technology, the Department of Justice, and the Office of the Executive Secretary before it rendered its decision. Justice Secretary Minado Guevara confirmed to ABS-CBN News that NTC approached the DOJ if it can assign frequencies previously held by ABS-CBN. But he clarified it was a straightforward discussion of legal issues regarding the authority of the NTC to allocate unused and available frequencies, as well as the power to grant permits for broadcast operations. Guevara added there was no reference or mention of any private parties or private interest, or any specific factual context. In a TV interview, Cabinet Secretary Carlo Nograles defended the DOJ, saying there were no names of individuals or private entities in the DOJ's legal opinion. But the NTC's moves to assign frequencies formerly used by ABS-CBN was met with outrage and concern. ACT Teachers Partilist Representative Franz Castro calls it a reward for the Villars for being a loyal ally to the president. Prior to running for the Senate, Mark Villar was Public Works Secretary, while his sister Camille is Deputy House Speaker, who voted against the renewal of the ABS-CBN franchise. For Bayan Muna Representative and House Deputy Minority Leader Carlos Zarate, It's payback time for Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte's cronies, just like what his idol, dictator Ferdinand Marcos, did during his time. The National Union of Journalists of the Philippines expressed concern over the concentration of power in the corporate media landscape in networks perceived to be friendly to the government and to one presidential aspirant. This development, it said, has dire implications in the people's right to relevant information at a time of crises. ICT rights advocacy group founder Pierre Gallia meanwhile blamed an old law giving the NTC power to assign frequencies without consultation.
The radio control law merely says, and this is supported by EO 546, the NTC charter, where it says that the NTC has the power to assign frequencies, just like that. It does not require, for instance, that that frequencies undergo some sort of public consultation and whatnot, which is why it is very important for Congress to pass a spectrum management reform law.
But Gallia clarified, ABS-CBN still has a lot of options on the table.
If ABS is able to get a franchise, then they can have talks with Villar and, with the permission of Congress, purchase the Villar Group's broadcasting company to be able to acquire the frequencies. Or, which is much easier, why don't they request for a different VHF channel instead? There's still channel 10. It's still not assigned. Why can't they get that? Plus, channel 10 is a much better frequency than channel 2 once we go digital.
He pointed out ABS-CBN used to be on channel 3 before it moved to channel 2. With a shift to digital TV after 2023, its channel number may even change further, but it will still remain ABS-CBN.
An almost midnight deal, that's how InfraWatch PH described the NTC's move to allow the reassignment of ABS-CBN's frequencies to the Duterte allies. The group's convener, Terry Redon, says it leaves a bad taste in the mouth as it was done in the twilight of the current administration.
We have to be able to take regulatory agencies to task. It's an almost midnight deal precisely because you can basically just wait it out. Hindi ba? Pwede naman ho talaga makapag-antay yung NTC hanggang magkaroon po ng bagong presidente. Pero binigay pa rin ho nila a few days before the election period. So I think that is something that they have to explain to the public.
For University of the Philippines journalism professor Danilo Arau, he believes the issue is ultimately a press freedom issue.
It's a press freedom issue, although you can always argue that frequency assignments are supposed to be technical in nature. This is high time to really rethink the process of granting broadcast franchises because things have become so politicized. Perhaps congressional approval should be waived and the National Telecommunications Commission should be reorganized in a way that it will be an independent commission just like the CHR and the COA. In order to ensure that this will not happen again.
And for more on this issue, we're now joined by Deputy Commissioner of the NTC, Edgardo Cabarrios. NTC, of course, is the National Telecommunications Commission. Deputy Commissioner, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you coming to the show. I'm sorry, Deputy Commissioner, but you're on mute. Can you kindly unmute yourself?
Sure, yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Ma'am Carmina, and good afternoon to all. Thank you.
All right. So a lot of people really looking at this issue with great concern, with great interest. First of all, it's under the law, Deputy Commissioner, that NTC can award the frequencies as you choose to. But why is it that in this particular case regarding advanced media, why did you have to seek consultation with the Department of Justice?
First, Ma'am Carmina, is that in 2006, the Commission started discussing transition to digital TV. And in that year, several companies applied for digital TV. And one of them is Advanced Media. That was 2006. And 5 years later, at that time, The European standard was the prevailing standard at the time, but the Commission decided after consultation to adopt the Japanese standard, DBT, some 5 years later, and then the IRR. And based on the analysis of technical analysis of consultants, you cannot grant new digital TV during the transition period because the frequencies, UHF frequencies, shall be used for simulcast purposes. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot just go to digital TV right away because of the household TV or TV households. No?
I'm sorry, Deputy Commissioner, let me just cut you there just to make it clear for our viewers as well. The franchise or the frequency for, first of all, the franchise for free TV, that's different from getting a franchise for digital. Is that correct?
No, the same.
It's the same.
Digital is just technology. So the franchise is generic franchise for broadcast, radio and television.
So essentially awarding Advanced Media the frequencies, the former frequencies of ABS-CBN, I should say, was basically to help them as they prepare for a shift to digitalization?
No, it's like this. Because of that one, the IRR now prohibits the grant of new digital TV, especially in Mega Manila, where most of the spectrum TV channels are used and to be used for simulcasts. And so because the frequencies of ABS-CBN due to the expiration of the franchise and cancellation of the authorizations granted to ABS-CBN, all the frequencies, all the channels were recalled by the commission. And since there is now available spectrum TV channels, so we sought the guidance of the ICT because more than 1 year already remain unutilized and remain unassigned. So we sought the guidance from the ICT asking them if we can assign this unutilized and used frequencies and assigned frequencies. Mm-hmm. So the ICT said we can. And then we also sought the opinion of the Department of Justice. And similar, the Department of Justice says we can under it is within our power to do so. So we also seek guidance from the Office of the Executive Secretary. And same, no? Because of the power vested upon the NTC, we can proceed. And so we proceeded and analyzed the applicants. And the first applied for digital TV was Advanced Media. So our technical staff prepared the evaluation. It has a renewed franchise, 2019 renewal of the franchise, so it's legally qualified. And then they look at technical and financial capability of Advance. And the submissions are the finding is that it is technically and financially qualified. And since because it is the first in that list, the commission granted the authority.
All right. So Deputy Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, I'm sorry to cut you there, but we have to move ahead and move on with the topic. So first you said you analyzed, meaning you conducted due diligence on Advanced Media, because that's one of the concerns, that's one of the issues being raised against the NTC, that you did this unilaterally without conducting any due diligence.
Oh, it underwent quite a judicial process, because that's the process followed by the commission. So there were formal hearings, submission of documents, etc. That was done. And then the analysis, the evaluation was also done by our staff.
When you said that Advanced Media was first, what did you mean by that? Can you give us a date?
2006, it applied for digital TV already. This was 2006. That the start, when the commission started discussing the transition from analog to digital. Like applying a Advanced Media applied already.
Mm-hmm. All right. Because people are asking now as well, Deputy Commissioner, why the sense of urgency here? We know that this administration, its lifetime is going to end in a matter of months. Why was there some sort of urgency in dispensing these frequencies?
Well, first is we asked because unutilized frequency is it is not for public good. You have to use limited public resource. Spectrum is limited public resource. If it is not being used for a long time, it is disadvantageous to the public. And so the commission have decided that to use that spectrum, which remained more than 1 year already unutilized and assigned. So we have to use it for public good and public convenience.
Why couldn't have you waited until the next administration?
That would be more than 2 years already. So it's a matter of the commission and bank deciding because of the first we have to analyze everything, etc. So when the matter was brought to the commission and bank, it was discussed lengthily, and so the decision was to grant the authorization to advanced media.
Is there any prescriptive period by which you should dispense of these frequencies and assign these frequencies, Deputy Commissioner?
No, there is no prescriptive period. But what we have in mind is we have to use it for public good, public convenience as soon as possible, because remaining unused, these are limited public resources. If it remains unused, it's not economically sound if it remains unused.
Here's the thing, though. The shift to digitalization, that's going to happen in 2023. Why couldn't you just have waited instead of issuing this temporary permit to broadcast and use that frequency?
Well, as I have said, if it remains unused, it is not for public good. It should be used for public good, public convenience. All of them are shifting to digital, and this is a new digital TV the authorization granted to advanced media. So they will start providing a digital television within the time frame, because the provisional authority is good only for 18 months.
What's the kind of content they'll be airing within this 18 months?
It's up to them, because programming is up to the licensee or the grantee of the authority.
As long as it serves the public good?
That is correct.
What if they just air ads, for example, for their chosen candidate?
That would be a content issue. It can be tackled by the KBP, KBP being an independent self-regulating entity as far as content is concerned.
So you just assign frequencies without knowing why or for why they're going to use this or for which purpose?
Well, these are broadcasts, so the purpose is two. It's for information and for entertainment. That's broadcast.
Tell me about the perception, Deputy Commissioner, that this is almost a midnight deal. Again, we go back to not just advanced media, but the other frequencies that you awarded to other allies of the present administration. What is your reaction to that?
Well, as I've said earlier, it's more than 1 year already that this spectrum remains unused and unutilized and unassigned. So the commission and bank decided to assign so that it can be used for public good and public convenience.
You keep on going back to it being unused for more than 1 year already. But you're also saying there's no prescriptive period for you to assign these frequencies. So which one is it? Why did you act with such...
It's public good and public convenience.
Public good and...
Public convenience.
All right.
Authorizations for broadcast, the permanent authorization granted is certificate of public convenience. Pursuant to law.
This is what some people also are having a hard time understanding. If the shift to digitalization is going to happen in 2023, why did you even have to... grant them temporary permit to broadcast? And are you doing the same for the other frequencies?
No, the temporary permit is they have requested that the flagship program, because digital TV can have several programs. The flagship programs be simulcasts to analog and digital. So that was the request. And finding the request to be meritorious, the commission decided to grant temporary use of the of Channel 2 for simulcast purposes only and up to the ASO, they call it analog shutoff.
The other frequencies that you awarded to other allies of the Duterte administration, have they submitted any similar request?
No, similar request from the other two.
And if they do, will you grant them a temporary permit to broadcast as well?
If there are available, but as of now, no more available because these are the BHF channels. And BHF channels for Mega Manila, we have channel 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. All of these are used, except also, of course, Channel 2, which was recalled and temporarily assigned to advanced media.
Finally, Deputy Commissioner, the shift to digitalization was supposed to happen, if I'm not mistaken, 2015. If we don't meet the 2023 shutoff deadline once again, if that is extended, will you be extending as well the permit, the temporary permit to broadcast that you have issued to Advanced Media?
The migration to digital TV is the primary responsibility of the DICT, because the DICT is a policy, making a body as far as telecoms and broadcast is concerned. We get policy guidance from them. They say that the shutoff should be done by 2023, we'll comply. If they say that because of one reason or the other, it will be moved, we will comply. If there is a need to extend, then we will do so if there is a need to extend. So depending upon the evaluation later on.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Deputy Commissioner Edgardo Cabarrios of the National Telecommunications Commission, we appreciate you joining us on the program today. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Moving on. Presidential aspirant and the late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., gives his take on the current situation of ABS-CBN. In an interview with DWIZ, the former senator said the network should first address the issues raised against it during the hearings at the House of Representatives before it reapplies for a franchise. Should it be approved by the next Congress, Marcos says he will not stand in the network's way.
ABS has been a very fervent critic of me, my family, all lahat dito sa panig ng mga Marcos. So, pero hindi yan ang pinag-uusapan. Ang pinag-uusapan ay yun lang ang mga violation na nakita. Eh pag naayos yun, bakit naman hindi na ibalik ang prangkisa?
The first time the government shut down ABS-CBN was right after the declaration of martial law in 1972 under Marcos's father, the late dictator, Ferdinand Marcos Sr. Meanwhile, ABS-CBN raises more money to fund its digital push. The network raised nearly 500 million pesos through the sales of millions of common shares and Philippine depositary receipts. In a disclosure to the stock exchange, ABS-CBN said each common share and PDR was sold for 15 pesos and 23 centavos apiece. ABS-CBN has been ramping up its digital initiatives since the House of Representatives denied its application for a new broadcast. In 2020. ABS-CBN is the parent firm of this news channel. Let's take a break now. Up ahead, Moderna begins clinical trials of a booster dose designed to protect against the Omicron variant. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Philippine economy beats growth expectations for 2021. A public policy think tank calls government's move to hand over former frequencies of ABS-CBN to Duterte allies an almost midnight deal. And a doctor's group warns government against lowering the COVID alert level in Metro Manila. Back with more news. The Philippines logged 15,789 new COVID infections Wednesday. That's the second straight day that the daily tally fell below 20,000. Active cases now down to 230,000. The 35.8% positivity rate is also the lowest since January 3rd. There were 66 new deaths, including three who had the Omicron variant reported. Hospitals in Metro Manila get to breathe a sigh of relief as COVID-19 admissions taper off. But the president of the Philippine College of Physicians says the decline in cases is still not enough to warrant an alert level downgrade. The capital region is currently under alert level 3.
We are getting a lot of calls, no, from our patients, no, at this particular time. So I think this high number will continue up to the first week of February. If ever the government is thinking of downgrading the alert level, I hope that this is not going to happen in the near future, because I don't think that this is the right time to do it.
Dr. Limpin says many health workers who were sidelined by COVID have also gone back to work, but she believes Metro Manila still can't afford to send manpower to other regions which are now experiencing Omicron surges.
The government might not be able to do that because we are still seeing a lot of cases here in Metro Manila. And although some could probably be seeing less, we are also seeing a lot of non-COVID cases.
Philippine health experts agree with the World Health Organization's recent statement the next COVID-19 variant could be more infectious than Omicron. Philippine Genome Center Executive Director Cynthia Saloma points out it's natural for viruses to mutate constantly. But Saloma says it doesn't necessarily mean the next variant could be deadlier.
It's very, very difficult to predict ano yung unraveling itong virus na ito, but there is a possibility indeed that the next one will be highly transmissible, but whether it's going to be fatal or more severe or not, we really don't know. But at the same time, tayo po sa Philippine Genome Center in our discussions with our bioinformaticians and structural biologists, we also have this belief that because of the increased number of mutations, magiging unstable po yung mutation na ito, no? yung virus na ito because of increased mutations.
Cities in Metro Manila gearing up for the vaccination of children aged 5 to 11 against COVID-19 next week. We're now joined by San Juan Mayor Francis Zamora to talk about their preparations. Mayor Zamora, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, good afternoon, Carmina. Thanks for having me on ANC.
All right, before we talk about the vaccination rollout for children aged 5 to 11, the city of San Juan just coming out of a week-long suspension of classes due to the surge that we experienced because of the Omicron variant. How is the city doing now as we speak?
Can you allow me to share with you that last January 12, we logged our highest number of COVID-19 cases, which was at 1,947. But just 2 weeks after, as of today, we are down to just 536. That is a 72.47% drop in 2 weeks only. So we are seeing really that the numbers are going down. But again, you may ask me next, is it time for alert level 3? I may say that I would want to see the numbers go down even lower. And this is something that I'm anticipating will happen in the next few days.
Lower at what level, Mayor? What number are you looking at here?
Just to share with you, during the time we were at alert level 2, we were safely below 100. In fact, we had the lowest number at 5 cases December 12, just a few days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we could see that the city was able to bring down the numbers. It's just that when Omicron started, the infection rate really went up high. But again, after Omicron, and this is what we're seeing now, it is something that the city can actually achieve to be able to bring down to single digits the number of COVID cases. In fact, our ultimate target then was to reach zero by Christmas.
Mm. Bringing down the cases, what's your projection here? If it's at just a little over 500 now, when do you see it going down to single digits?
Possibly by first or second week of February. This is possible. Remember, Carmina, however high the numbers go up on a daily basis, this is also the rate that it will go down, because each and every day, those who got infected, for instance, 10 days ago, 10 days after, they will also recover. So given the data we are seeing now, the numbers are really down. In fact, even our hospital utilization rate is very low. Even our quarantine facilities are just down to 30% utilization. So all the data will point to a sharp decline of active cases. And that is why I welcome the start of the vaccination for those aged 5 to 11, because we can now protect this specific age group. Those 12 to 17 have been vaccinated already. So we are really preparing for the vaccination of those age 5 to 11.
And let's get into the preparation now. How is it looking like? Are you ready? Are you going to have a separate vaccination site for these children?
We will be dedicating the Phil Oil Flying V Center purely for those age 5 to 11. And remember, they will not be able to go on their own. They will be accompanied by a parent or a guardian. So you're multiplying now the number of people by two. So we will dedicate the venue for them. We can finish them in 5 days if 1,000 a day will come, because 5,000 have already registered. In fact, we are ready for the February 4 launch. The vaccines will be delivered to us very soon. This will be a 0.2 ml dose of Pfizer, and we will be using a specialized syringe designed for this age group. So it will be a smaller syringe, because the muscles of those aged 5 to 11 are smaller. So this will be provided to us by the DOH, and will be delivered in the next few days.
Are you also going to welcome non-San Juaneños?
Yes, we have opened our vaccination program to all Filipinos. In fact, a lot of those from the provinces visit San Juan. Some even fly all the way from Cebu and Bacolod just to get vaccinated here in San Juan. All they have to do is register online. And that is something that I and the IATF have agreed upon months before. They will continue to supply us with the vaccines, and we will continue to vaccinate people from different cities, different provinces. So everyone is welcome to get vaccinated here. They just have to register online through our registration portal.
How much of a game changer will this be once all those children aged 5 to 11 get vaccinated against COVID near?
This will really change the game in a big way, especially if you talk about the economy. One thing that we experienced the last few weeks is that the restrictions regarding those who can go out are not anymore age-based, but they are now based on are you vaccinated or not. Now, once the age group of 5 to 11 are fully vaccinated, I believe that there will be again a shift in the policy, because now families can again go to the mall, they can eat out, they can shop because the children are fully vaccinated. I have two children within the age group of 5 to 11, and I cannot even take my family out anymore because though the two younger ones cannot leave their homes, our home. So once the age group 5 to 11 is vaccinated, it will really change the scenario. And I believe even mobility restrictions will change as well.
And how about school year 2022-2023, once these children get vaccinated, is that going to change as well, the plans to reopen schools in San Juan?
Remember, Carmina, November, we already started our pilot face-to-face classes in a few of our public schools. And in fact, we thought that this is going to continue. But unfortunately, Omicron happened. So once the cases go down, I believe we can continue with the pilot schools for face-to-face classes. But Regardless, we have a very strong online program. In fact, we have provided all our public school students fiber optic internet connection for online education. So in the event that face-to-face classes will still not be permitted, the public school students of San Juan can continue to do online education.
All right. We're going to have to leave it at that. San Juan Mayor Francis Zamora, they're joining us this afternoon. Appreciate you coming to the show, Mayor. Thanks and take care and keep safe.
Okay. Thank you, Carmina. Thank you, ANC.
From there, U.S. biotech company Moderna has begun clinical trials of a booster dose specifically designed to combat Omicron. The trials involve a total of 600 adults, half of whom have already received two doses of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine. The other half received a booster dose. The Omicron-specific booster will be evaluated as both a third dose and a fourth dose. Moderna's announcement comes a day after its rival Pfizer-BioNTech said they have begun their own trial for an Omicron-specific vaccine. The U.S. responds to Russia's sweeping security demands, a key step in a fragile diplomatic process between the two nations. As Russia further fans the flames of the UK, make that Ukraine conflict. More on this report.
Today, Ambassador Sullivan delivered our written response in Moscow.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Wednesday said the U.S. delivered written replies to sweeping Russian security demands, seeking to avoid a conflict at the Ukrainian border that some experts have said could be the biggest since World War II.
All told, it sets out a serious diplomatic path forward, should Russia choose it.
Blinken said that while the document offers areas where the two countries may find common ground, the U.S. would not concede to Russia's request that Ukraine be blocked from joining the NATO alliance.
NATO's door is open, remains open, and that is our commitment.
Whether Russian President Vladimir Putin is prepared to accept the U.S.'s proposals will determine the next phase of the crisis, in which Moscow has massed around 100,000 troops near the border with Ukraine while denying it plans to invade. Russia staged new military drills on land and on the Black Sea and moved more paratroopers and fighter jets to Belarus, north of Ukraine, for what it describes as joint exercises there next month. Ukraine said Russia was trying to sow panic. Ukraine's foreign minister said Moscow had not yet massed sufficient forces for a large-scale offensive, but that did not mean it could not do so later. Earlier on Wednesday, responding to comments by U.S. President Joe Biden that he would consider imposing sanctions personally on Putin, Russia said such a move would not hurt the Kremlin leader, but would be potentially destructive. When asked, Blinken confirmed that personal sanctions on Putin, though a rare step, were an option.
When it comes to sanctions, I think, as you heard the president say, everything is on the table.
Blinken said he expects to speak with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov about the document in the coming days to discuss next steps.
Right now, the document is with them and the ball is in their court. Whether they choose the path of diplomacy and dialogue, whether they decide to renew aggression against Ukraine, we're prepared either way. Thank you.
North Korea fires what appeared to be two short-range ballistic missiles Thursday. South Korea's military said the missiles were fired off the northeast coast and were suspected to have landed just outside Japan's exclusive economic zone. This is Pyongyang's sixth round of missile tests this year. Both South Korea and Japan denounced the latest round of missile tests, while Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida saying the launch is deeply regrettable. On Tuesday, North Korea fired two cruise missiles into the sea off its east coast. Earlier this month, North Korea said it would bolster its defenses against the United States. The U.S. Federal Reserve hints it will likely start raising its interest rates as early as March as inflation continues to run hot and the labor market strengthens. It also reaffirmed its plans to end its bond purchases in 2 months. The combined moves will complete the Fed's pivot away from loose monetary policy that has defined the pandemic era and toward a more urgent fight against rising consumer prices.
In light of the remarkable progress we've seen in the labor market and inflation that is well above our 2% longer-run goal, The economy no longer needs sustained high levels of monetary policy support. In light of the remarkable progress we've seen in the labor market and inflation that is well above our 2% longer run goal, the economy no longer needs sustained high levels of monetary policy support. That is why we are phasing out our asset purchases and why we expect it will soon be appropriate to raise the target range for the federal funds rate. Of course, the economic outlook remains highly uncertain. Making appropriate monetary policy in this environment requires humility, recognizing that the economy evolves in unexpected ways. We'll need to be nimble so that we can respond to the full range of plausible outcomes. With this in mind, we will remain attentive to risks, including the risk that high inflation is more persistent than expected, and are prepared to respond as appropriate to achieve our goals.
The Fed has kept key interest rates at near zero since March 2020. Economists expect the central bank to raise rates 3 to 4 times this year. In sports, Philippine Athletics Track and Field Association President Philip Cuico has officially been declared persona non grata by the Philippine Olympic Committee. The body ratified its decision in relation to the complaint filed by Olympic pole vaulter EJ Obiena. Over 50 national sports associations attended the POC General Assembly, 36 of which voted yes on Cuico's persona non grata tag. That includes athletes, commission members such as Filipino gold medalist Heidelin Diaz. The POC says Cuico will stay as PATAFA president for other matters, but he will no longer be recognized by the body. Cuico, meanwhile, claims the process was railroaded, citing the lack of due process. He also insists he did nothing wrong and that he only wanted to make Obiena accountable for his supposed lapses. And before we go, COVID-19 protocols set for next month's Super Bowl. All attendees will be provided with free KN95 face masks and a rapid test kits. Only fully vaccinated individuals are allowed inside the venue. Los Angeles health officials also reminding spectators to follow COVID-19 protocols at all times during the match. Super Bowl 56 will be held in front of a huge crowd at the SoFi Stadium in LA on February 13th. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.